So what all do you have? A business, cars, houses, properties, bank accounts? Are you concerned that any of these can be taken away from you if someone sues you? Have you done all you can to protect all of your assets? Well, you really ought to get in touch with the experts down at Barth Calderon LLP. They're a law firm that specializes in asset protection and estate planning, and they can help you protect what's yours so that predators and creditors can't get their hands on them. Give them a call at 800-548-8564. That's 1-800-548-8564 for a free consultation. Hey, tell them the Exit Coach sent you. When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com.
Bill Black is a registered representative with and securities offered through Crown Capital Securities LP member, FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Barth Financial Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from CCS. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of Crown Capital Securities LP or Barth Financial Advisors, LLC. California Insurance License 0652621.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. It is another gorgeous day here in Southern California, and we're so happy that you tuned in with us tonight. We have a real special show tonight. We have some great guests that are going to talk about some of the tax strategies you can use to minimize your taxes and start preparing now for the day that you finally decide to sell your business, or what you can do on the way so that you can have the lowest tax possible for that. And then a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about some of the ways that you can figure out where you are on the entrepreneurial journey, from being a self-employed person to having a business that might be saleable to finally to selling your business someday. And it's a great interview. You're really going to enjoy it. I want to mention that we have a few different tools now available at exitcoachradio.com you might want to take advantage of. We have a tool that'll help you to know your value and a tool that'll help you to grow your value. So you can now go to exitcoachradio.com and look in our planning section and find a tool that we have that will help you do an estimate of the value of your business at absolutely no cost. And then we have another assessment tool that'll help you learn how to grow your business and have effective management meetings to achieve that goal. So we hope you'll join us there. We're real happy you're with us today. I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks again for joining us. Now it's time for sales tips with Brad Leggett of the Leggett Group.
Brad, where do new sales managers tend to stumble?
They tend to stumble in three key areas when they move from sales to sales management. They tend to stumble in managing across and operating the executive level. They're used to managing up with their own manager. They often make a pretty good transition to managing with their manager, the CEO of the company. But it's a head shift change for them to work with other peers in the company. And understanding the perspectives of finance, understanding the perspectives of operation, and what matters to each of these folks and how they need to interact with them. Secondly, moving to a company strategy from an account-specific strategy. When I'm a sales rep, I'm responsible for bringing in a deal from an account. As a sales manager, I need to develop a strategy for the entire sales team about what markets to pursue, what accounts to pursue, and how to get business from a broad range of accounts, and bringing that data back to the company to develop its overall strategic plan. And finally, coaching and developing talent, changing the mindset from I'm responsible for doing this to I'm the person that will coach and lead a team and have the right people in place to achieve the sales target through them.
To get in touch with Brad, go to his website at LeggettSales.com. Hey, Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. You know, protecting your family and business is essential for your peace of mind, but unfortunately this process can be complicated, confusing, and frustrating. It requires an in-depth knowledge, expertise, and experience in the areas of law, taxes, estate planning, wealth management, and insurance, as well as the understanding of sound business practices. That's why you need a trusted legal and financial advisors. Al Rash is an attorney with an MBA, a former CPA, a licensed insurance agent, and a certified senior advisor. If you need someone who will listen to you and provide expert legal and financial support, call Al Rash at Albert J. Rash & Associates, 714-432-0794. That's 714-432-0794. Hey everybody, this is Bill Black, the Exit Coach from the Exit Coach Radio Show here on AM 830 on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You know, one of the questions I get asked the most is how can I grow the value of my business so I can sell it someday? We've put together a report called Value Drivers, 10 Steps to Grow the Value of Your Business, and we're making it available free to AM 830 listeners. Just text the word DRIVERS to 44222. That's DRIVERS to 44222. Text DRIVERS to 44222.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. I wanted to remind you that besides being on AM 830 on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. before and after Angels games, our shows are also available anytime at exitcoachradio.com. You can listen to a wide variety of topics from a whole bunch of different advisors in our audio library. You can even search by topic. My guest today is Wayne Pinnell of Haskell & White. He is the managing partner at that firm here locally in Irvine, and you probably know it if you live in Southern California. Haskell & White LLP is one of the largest independently owned accounting, auditing, and tax consulting firms in Southern California, and they specialize in servicing public and private middle market companies. They have locations in Irvine and San Diego, and Haskell & White combines the expansive services, knowledge, experience, and reach of national and international accounting firms with the personal attention, responsiveness, and value of a local organization. And today we're going to talk about how you can get ready and use your CPA wisely as you prepare for your exit. Wayne, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure to be here.
Wayne, we always like to get started by getting to know a little bit about our guests and the firms they represent. And can you give us a little bit of background?
Sure. So for me personally, I've been a CPA in California for a little over 30 years. I've got a wide level of experience serving public companies, private companies, and a variety of nonprofits through the full life cycle of their companies, from out of the box to ultimate sale, succession, or otherwise. The firm, Haskell & White, has been in business in Orange County for a little over 28 years, and it's been my pleasure to be here for 20 of those, serving as the managing partner for the last 12. Our client base is middle market. Typically, we put a band in there somewhere between $10 million and $100 million, but that is not a limit to what we do. We've got clients smaller and larger than that revenue target. But one thing that we really like about clients, to serve them, the ones that are most interested in growing, they're very transaction-oriented, that let us really be able to do more consulting work than just be their compliance partner year in and year out. So the funds in the consulting and helping them grow and exit.
Yeah, and I know by reputation the firm has an excellent reputation in the area. So if you are listening and you're wondering, you know, if you're getting the best representation, you ought to think about contacting Haskell & White. But first of all, what are some of the scope of things that people come to you initially for? Because it's, you know, CPA relationship is so sacred to so many people, it's a difficult one for them to change. So what are some of the reasons people come and say, I'm choosing Haskell & White, I need to have this done, and here's why I'm coming to you?
Well, there's two primary reasons people will start out seeking us or any CPA firm, and one of those is usually income taxes, because there's usually a prep need, or they've received an audit notice or something like that, and they need help that's beyond their home expertise. And then the other one would be some type of financial reporting requirement, because they're doing business with a bank, for example, that is now asking them to provide an audit or review as one of the covenants for the line of credit that they've been offered. But beyond that, really we can get into much more deep levels of business consulting, helping them reach the goals that they have for their business and their personal family matters.
And, of course, these days, a lot of people are aging into this whole exit planning topic, a lot of business owners that started their businesses 20, 30 years ago. And sometimes, you know, you get to that point when you go, I need more from my CPA team. I've either outgrown them or I'm just not getting, I need beyond, you know, tax help. So let's talk about some of the reasons that people might come as far as financial pitfalls. Wayne, what are some of the financial pitfalls that business owners face while they're getting ready to sell their company?
You know, I think the biggest one is quite frankly, just a failure to plan. They've reached a point, maybe a few years ago, they were getting ready to sell and the economy wasn't all in their favor for values, and they put their heads down and kept working for the next few years trying to reach a value in a better economy, and really haven't thought about, seriously thought about what the real exit's going to look like. And I've got several clients that this has happened to the past couple of years. They get one of those offers that comes out of the blue, and you know, it's now what? Hurry up and get ready to try to make this deal happen. And it's just not as clean as if it would otherwise be if you were thinking years ahead of time of what that exit might look like.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I see and hear out there a lot is people are scrambling. Of course, the business isn't taking any time off, so now they got to scramble on top of the business being busy. And a lot of people, of course, run their businesses in a way to minimize their taxation and minimize their taxable profits. And then all of a sudden, they can't have their cake and eat it too. They want to sell their business. The buyers are going to be looking differently at that. So let's talk about the difference between, we hear a lot about you should have audited financials if you're certainly in the space you were talking about, size of business. What's your comment as far as that's concerned? Do they need to have audited financials? And if so, for how long to make a buyer feel good about the business?
Okay, well, let me come to that in a second. I just want to touch back on something you just said about the business goes on every day. When they're not ready to sell and they're suddenly in that scurry to sell or otherwise retire, they lose focus on the business too, which is also a negative at the time you're trying to make your best deal. As far as needing an audit, no, you actually don't have to have an audit to get a deal done, but it is preferable for many buyers to have the credibility that an audit provides, that somebody else has taken a look at your financial records and has attested to the fact that you're presenting your financial statements generally in accordance with general accepted accounting principles. So GAAP seems to be the main thing people want to know. And from a cake and eat it too standpoint, tax and GAAP accounting can offer you two different results, but you generally can't show profits on a financial and minimize tax all the way through on your tax return. So companies need to be looking for the credibility in their financials, what it is that they're going to be telling as a story and the history there. So it may be that a buyer will look for 1 year, 2 year, 3 years of audited financials, but the important thing is to start a track record and start it early.
Good point. And you know, one of the things that of course is happening as the baby boomers age into this exit planning horizon, there's going to be a lot of competition. So you need to look clean so that they don't go, well, you know what, we've got other deals we're looking at and you're just a mess. So we don't need that. How are some other ways that we can help the business owner with their CPA to prepare for that exit early in advance?
Well, a couple things that we like to look at is not only just what is the business plan, but if we're talking about generally private, middle market, family-owned businesses, what is the family plan? And to that extent, it takes into account whether there is a in-family succession plan that's there, if there is an opportunity for perhaps a management buyout, what are their goals upon sale? What do they want to do with that money? And so some of that is tax planning. It may be charitable endeavors. It may be putting things through what my tax partners would help with in terms of trusts or generation skipping type vehicles. But the key thing is again, knowing where they want to get to gives you a good runway to help them figure out what gaps are in their business, what type of thing they might need to clean up, where they're a little soft on skills, where the management team's lacking. There's a whole host of things that a company can improve given enough time to do it.
Now, without getting too technical, one of the things we hear early in advance is that if a business has been set up as a C corporation, and of course many of the early businesses were C corporations, there weren't alternatives like there are today, that perhaps they should think about converting to an S corporation. I know the answer is it depends, but in general, can you give us just a quick overview for our listeners as to why that might be advantageous to be an S corporation versus a C corporation at the time of a sale, and why you need to do it early in advance?
Sure. So the general issue with a C corporation is it has a double level of tax, so that the corporation itself pays tax, and then as the sale of the stock of that corporation generates income for the holder, they're going to pay tax again, basically on the same cumulative profits that the corporation generated. An S-corp, on the other hand, is actually treated, it's a pass-through entity, if you will, in that the earnings of the corporation flow through to the individual's tax return, so they're only paying one level of tax. So there's certainly a tax savings on an S-corp. You're right in that the C-corp seemed to be the general model that is kind of the starting point. Everybody opts for a C-corp for some reason without doing a whole lot of thinking about that. But if you were to convert from a C-corp to an S-corp, generally you've got a five-year holding period right now to get past a period of time they refer to as built-in gains. So the numbers that have been built up in the tax return of the C-corporation will become much more tax advantageous to you if you can hold on for 5 years, and then the profits in the sale of that business will be clearly taxed only at the one level, not two levels. So if you've got a five-year runway out there, it's a good time to convert.
And that used to be a much longer runway, correct?
It used to be 10, yeah. So they've modified that down to 5, so it makes it a little easier to plan for a shorter horizon.
It makes it a bigger decision a more important decision, because a lot of people, I don't know about you, but I hear a lot of people in their 50s and 60s are saying, five and out, you know, give me 5 more years. That seems to be the common timeline, I guess, that people can think to is, in 5 years, I want to be doing something different or sell the business or whatever. Do you hear that a lot, too, or what's timeline?
I do hear the five and out. I also have seen the people who were 5 years ago thinking that they were five and out and are now looking that 5 years has kind of doubled to, 10 years because they've been working to recover some values or others. Generally speaking, the workforce is aging overall. Owners are no exception. And I think the psychology of the owner starts kicking in if they're in their mid-50s or early 60s. Many of us, and I'm almost there, would kind of wonder what you're going to do if you stopped working through your daily business or that baby that you've built up over 20, 30 years.
Yeah, here's my theory on aging, Wayne. 65 is the new 55. You've heard that, right? 75 is the new 65, but 80 is still 80. So there comes a time we can push things back a ways, but we still have to plan. And of course, as we get older, we're getting into an age where anything can happen. I've had a lot of clients pass away from stress and heart attacks and things like that over the last couple of years that I would have never thought. But when you're a business owner, you run a stressful life, so you have to be ready for that particularly. If you're going to work longer, then make sure you've got your bases covered if an unfortunate thing happens in your life or someone around you in their life. So let's talk about industry-wise. Now, are some industries more in need of a CPA when they're prepping for their M&A than others? And if so, what are they?
Actually, I don't think there is. The reality is every business has its own unique processes, principles, products, services, and they're going to vary by depth of ownership, depth of management. Personal service corporations have kind of a difficult time because if it's very personal, like attorneys, accountants, architects, if those are people selling their business, they certainly need to figure out what their exit plan is too, but they're very personalized in that individual is providing the service. Companies with products, et cetera, need to be just as vigilant planning for the future because in a product-type company, technology, evolution of products, competitors is going to be something to keep an eye on. But every entity that has a life cycle, there is a beginning and an end to it. And it really, I'd like to coach people to start, when you start a business, plan for the exit. I mean, if you have an idea where it's going, or visit that every couple of years, what is the exit and where are the pitfalls that you're going to deal with, what are the opportunities that you can chase? technology seems to be a big thing right now. You hear a lot about technology companies changing hands, certainly some of the large ones in Orange County. Life sciences are another thing that are big out there, but a lot of money goes into those to develop the next drug. But some of those are all succession plans that they integrate upwards. So it depends on your industry where your ultimate opportunity is going to be. But none of them should escape planning.
Absolutely. Now, I was going to ask you, do you see that more service companies and service-oriented companies, do they have a greater need to plan for their own personal retirement through using things like 401k plans and profit sharing? Should they be thinking about their own buyout as opposed to, hoping somebody's going to buy their service when we've had such things as technology and the internet? For instance, I'll give you an example. A doctor that may have at one point brought in other associates and created a nice succession plan within their practice, and now they're so beholden to the HMO books and the directories that there may not be much value in that practice when they reach retirement, so they need to be thinking about it personally. Is that a conversation you have with service company owners?
Yeah, I think you really do. Is it service companies, especially personal service, and throw doctors into the list like we just did, there is an exit, and as you grow people up in your practice to take over for you, there has to be some practice that continues that benefit inures to them, but there's also a way to get your money out, and it would be unwise for anybody to not think about external retirement vehicles, as you mentioned, 401ks and others. There are other companies that are using employee stock ownership programs or employee stock ownership plans, ESOPs, to put in a gradual shift and change from first-line owners down to the employees at large. So there's different vehicles for different folks, but nobody should rely on the company to take care of them after they retire.
And that's a big problem we've seen of a lot of people where they thought, my business is my retirement plan and someday I'm going to sell it and cash out and I'll be done with that. And the issue today is if you sell it and you haven't done proper planning, you have a big tax bite and then you reinvest the proceeds into a market that's not giving us much yield. It's very difficult to replicate your income stream from the after-tax proceeds of a sale of a business these days. Can you comment on that?
Everything you said is true, and I think another piece that adds into that is when you first start talking to a business owner about what they think they can sell their business for, I think most people would agree that, I'll make up a statistic here, 99% of the time they've overinflated the number. They feel very passionate about their business. They would love to sell it for that number that they're throwing out there, but it's often not really based in market reality, and so it is adding to that problem that people think they're going to sell their business for $10 million, can't really sell it more than $7 million, so they've already lost $3 million that they were more or less quote-unquote planning for, and then you take the tax bite and figure out where you're going to reinvest that. One of the things we really like to talk to companies about is what would you like to get? And I had a conversation with a company the other day. They thought $5 million, they're not going to sell the company for $5 million, probably aren't really going to think about growing the business. I said, well, at some point you're going to want to sell this, right? So what's the number? Is it 15? Mm-hmm. And, the owner thought about it for a moment. Well, 15 could be the number. So, well, then what we really need to talk about is how you get you from a $5 million value today to the 15 that makes sense to you. And there's a lot of work to do in between.
There is a lot of work to do. And the other thing, let's talk about terms for a second. Now, how often do you see, let's say, a $10 to $20 million revenue company, how often do you see that sold in a staged kind of an earn-out situation or some kind of a staged situation where they have to hang in there? And what's the likelihood that they're going to get those later installments in that? How do you help them plan in that area?
Yeah, so there's two very common pieces, as you point out there. One is if it's a sole proprietor, let's say selling his business, there's oftentimes that they'll offer that person a 2 to 5 year package to stay on and run that business. And in doing so, they tie that to the earn-out, which is staging the compensation for the sale of the business based on hitting whether it's revenue targets, growth targets, new geographies, products, what have you. The difficulty often comes in two fronts. One is the owner sometimes has a difficult time shifting from running his own company to working for somebody else. And I've often heard it, the complaint is once there's a new owner in play, they don't necessarily make all the resources available that the original owner would have thought he would have needed to hit those earnout targets. So earnouts are very common things that get thrown into deals, but I think you'll find more often than not, earnout targets don't get hit. And it leaves some dissatisfaction. I had a client several years ago that he was talking about an initial deal, offered 5-year employment and an earnout. And this is where some psychology sticks in here, because he said, well, you know, 5 years, well, I can go to jail for 5 years. And, you know, you have to stop the conversation and understand what is it you're about to enter here. Because if you view it going to jail for 5 years working for somebody else, it's likely not going to work in everybody's favor.
Yes, I had one owner who was planning to sell his business, and then they found in negotiations he was bartering or negotiating for his own PTO, his own personal freedom under the new regime, and he said that is not going to work. And there's an old saying out there that in an earnout situation, the first check's great, the second one's late, and the third one never comes. So you got to be real careful when you're planning for your if you're so wrapped up that third check is so important to your lifestyle, you better start planning early and make sure that third check is not important in any way, shape, or form. Would you agree with that?
I mean, hopefully. Yes, because you're right, because if it's going over 5 years, and it's as short as 5 years can seem, 5 years can be a very long period of time, and if targets aren't being hit early on in that 5-year period, they're less likely to be hit by the time you get to the end. So good advice on the deal structure would be to not leave too much as a back-end portion of the deal. You want to get as much as you can up front and certainly work toward the success of the first, second, and hopeful third check. But the more targets you miss early on, the more targets you're going to keep missing.
So, Wayne, we have baby boomers now between ages 53 and 70 this year. And, of course, from 2008 to probably not too long ago, business owners would have loved to have sold, but there's only one problem. There was no E in their EBITDA. And so no multiple would really work for the sale of their business. So there's kind of is there a pent-up demand? Do you feel that there's a pent-up demand? Or has the aging, you know, the aging extension thing we talked about, taking a little bit of pressure off of that, or most, what do you hear from most of your clients out there?
Well, I think certainly the aging of the population, the cycles in the economy have taken a little bit of edge off of that. People are hanging in there longer, but as you pointed out earlier, there is a point when everybody realizes they have to go, the time is right. If there's a lacking E in the EBITDA formula, then you can't stress enough that we should be thinking now, if it's a 5-year runway that's left, what are you spending your money on in the company? What things are not working on all 8 cylinders in your growth plan, your sales plan, your expense structure? There's a lot of companies that are spending money on things that really have no return on that type of investment. And so one thing we're able to do is go take a look, you know, certainly on the audit realm we see it, but just as special projects, we can take a look at companies' expense structures and really challenge whether they're getting any return on the monies being spent. Private companies also, you know, family-owned companies tend to run a lot of personal things through their companies too, whether you know straightforward or not. Those things can hurt earnings while they're getting a benefit of the perk. They can certainly hurt the earnings, and they have to be carved out when you're dealing with a potential buyer to understand what's really the potential profit in your business.
So let's sum it up for our listeners. It's been a great conversation with you. Let's sum it up. What are 3 tips or precautions that you would give business owners contemplating the upcoming in the horizon of the sale of their business?
Well, I think the first one clearly is plan early. Get your advisors around you, help you understand what your options may be for you, for your employees, the growth of your business, future profit. Understand your tax structure, your desired tax structure, and the outcomes that you want to have there. And I think third would be to, while you're going through this, you can't take your eye off the ball. The business has to keep running, and the best way to keep the business running the way it should be is to have done all that prep work in advance.
So there you have it, folks. Very sound advice, great tips. Wayne, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. How do our listeners get in touch with you and learn more about Haskell & White?
So our phone number is 949-450-6200. Our website is www.hwcpa.com. And my email, it can be found on the website as well, but it's wpinnell, that's W-P-I-N-N-E-L-L, at hwcpa.com.
Wayne, thank you so much for joining us today. And listeners, just ask around here in Orange County or San Diego County. Ask around. Everybody respects and loves Haskell & White for their planning services. And you can tell why. Wayne, you did a great job helping our listeners understand clearly what they need to do and why they need to be working with a quality CPA firm. Thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to the next time.
Very good. Thank you, Bill.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. So please stay with us.
It's time for another Experts Corner with Jeffrey M. Verdon of Verdon Law Group with his tips about estate and asset protection planning.
Businesses are often the entities that are ignored by both the lawyers that represent them because they're not oriented in their thinking. Most businesses often will have too many assets in their company. The same company that sells their product or sells the service also has their receivables, their equipment, their furnishings, their fixtures, their machinery. And then when a lawsuit hits, there's so many assets inside the business bill that they really can't negotiate a reasonable settlement. So what we like to do is strip out those assets, maybe spin off the equipment into a separate entity like an LLC and lease it back to the business, have the ownership of that entity a little bit different than how the business might be situated, secure the receivables with UCC-1s for prior obligation. And we like to look at the balance sheets of all of our business clients to see how we can protect those assets against a future liability claim.
To contact the Jeffrey M. Verdon Law Group, call 949-333-8150 or visit them online at jmvlaw.com. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. If you want to sell your business, choose a business broker with integrity and experience. Empire Business Solutions has been a leading independent M&A specialist in Orange County since 2005. They've handled over 75 successful transactions, and it starts with strict confidentiality, then valuation, through marketing and closing the transaction. To have a confidential discussion and get a free business valuation, call Roy Moss, president of Empire Business Solutions, at 714-374-6430. That's 714-374-6430. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. TLD Law can turn your exit planning dreams into legal reality. I've had the pleasure of working with the lawyers at TLD Law for over 10 years, and I know from personal experience that this firm knows how to assure that you, your family, and business are all protected. Whether you need an estate plan, a corporate shareholder agreement, or a complete business succession strategy, TLD Law should be your next call. Visit tldlaw.com or call 949-756-0684. Again, that's tldlaw.com or 949-756-0684.
My guest is Elizabeth Ledoux with V. Nacelle, and she is the CEO and founder owner. This is going to be a very interesting interview. You're going to want to grab a pen or pencil and a pad of paper and listen up, because we're going to talk about the value of a transition as business owners face their transition out of their business. Elizabeth, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about you and your background and how, I don't know if I pronounced your name of your company right. Maybe you can pronounce that correctly for us.
No, you pronounced it perfectly.
I did. Okay.
VNacelle. Yeah, is correct. That's correct. So let's see, a little bit of background on myself. I am a petroleum engineer by background. Many, many years ago, I drilled oil wells. And because I am an entrepreneur at heart, when it came time for me to raise my family, the oil industry was changing so dramatically that it turned out to be best for me to go a different direction. And so I opened up my consulting practice, which would be 27, almost 28 years ago, and have been doing that ever since. focus is to work with private owners and helping them to build a great business and then transition it when they're ready. And we work in the U.S. and Canada and right now in South Africa and Cayman, the Cayman Islands.
Well, that's an interesting range of territories. Are there, I've heard this, that, you know, obviously the baby boomer phenomenon is worldwide. Are businesses in all areas of the world, and especially the places you're talking about, are they having similar transition issues because of the aging of their populations? And did they have the same entrepreneurship wave that we had in the 60s when baby boomers started their businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. Some of the issues in like South Africa are a little bit different. We've got a lady there who's working with our intellectual property, really more in the development of companies. But if you look at transition without any question, Canada and the U.S. definitely have the same phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. The wave of people that graduated, the baby boomers from college and went looking for jobs and couldn't find, you know, jobs because corporate America wasn't ready for them, that facilitated this huge boom of entrepreneurs and business owners that we're now seeing come to their end of their, well, maybe not the end, but certainly the wind down. Does Venacell tend to focus on hands-on business owners, and what sizes and types of industries or numbers of employees tend to be in the sweet spot of who uses your services?
With regard to our transition services, we've got some business development, and we call it business acceleration services, that start, you know, down when you're truly very, very small, like $100,000, $200,000 in annual revenue, and go up from there. Our sweet spot in our consulting practice would be businesses that are around 3 million to probably about 60 or 70 million in annual revenue. Uh-huh. And typically what the people that we work with are in their 50s and 60s as owners.
Yes.
And they're active in the company typically. And what they're thinking about doing is slowing down a little bit. So not working as much in the business, with the ultimate transition maybe, you know, 3 to 7, 8 years out. And what they're looking for is to start their next adventure, because they're trying to wind down this adventure. They're not usually ready to retire.
Right.
But they are ready to move on to something that is maybe a little bit different than they've done in the past.
Yeah, that sounds like everybody I meet in my practice and the people that's perfect for our audience. It's people that are saying, I just want to go from overtime to part-time, get some of my life back. And like you said, not retire, but I want to rewire my life. I want to start my next adventure, because these are adventurous people. These aren't people that sat back and watched the world go by. They took it by the bull by the horn. You're right at home here and talking to our audience. So what are the top three challenges that a private business owner face as they think about this transition out of their business?
Typically, the top three things that they face, truly, the first one is trying to figure out what to do with the business. They've usually invested many years in the business, and they're very engaged with the people. So the first one is what to do with the business so it'll thrive into the future, and make sure that all the employees and the customers and the vendors and everybody, all those people are going to be taken care of, because the business actually usually is a part of the community, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's one of them. The next one would be how to figure out the right person or people to successfully run it, because only about 5% of our population is considered entrepreneurial. And usually a business, if it's not growing and expanding, it's usually considered to be declining. So the right people or the right person, typically those people need to be somewhat entrepreneurial, that can understand the business and drive it forward. And finding those people usually is not as easy as people believe it to be.
So minding the direction of the company, and I heard I had some audio problems there. I apologize for that. Minding the direction of the company and figuring out who's going to be the future leadership and developing those people. And then it's really a role change for that individual who was leading the company as well, right? I mean, it's a huge role change for them.
It's a huge role change. I think of it kind of like a dance, and the owner, you know, if you can think of a two people dancing, the owner's been leading the dance for years and years and years, 20 years, 15 years. And one of their concerns is to be able to have that business thrive into the future, and they need to be able to get the value out of the business as well. So they're trying to get this person to come in and actually lead, but unless that person comes in and leads and actually takes over for them, it's hard for the business owner to let go. So the new skills and behaviors that they need is an ability to clearly transfer the knowledge of how they do what they do and what they do. And many times the owners have done it for so long, they don't even know how they do some of those things. So they need to be able to clearly transfer that knowledge, and then they need to help that person who's going to be leading the company to become confident enough that they can trust them in order to let go and have that, have the dance continue, have that continue on into the future.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, often I hear that the business owner says, well, so-and-so is great at the technical side of the job, but they're not so good with people, or vice versa. They're great at sales and marketing, but they're not so good on the accounting or the technical side. And is it important to try to train that next line person to be well-rounded, or is it important just to identify their strengths and hire you know, to their weaknesses?
Yeah, I would say the latter. And in our experiences, we've had many, many, many transitions that we've worked through. And when you get another person, a younger person coming in, one, you can expect that they have, you know, especially with the millennials, some different values and different approaches. But if you look at the person, we all have natural wiring of things that we love to do and that we're very good at. And so when you bring in a new CEO or a new leader owner, it's really important to value what they're naturally wired to do, and then put a team around them, a support team that's going to help them to move forward. And we like keeping the teams in place that are already there, those support teams, but many times they need to be just adjusted. If you're not working in your natural area of focus and your natural wiring, usually it's not that you cannot do it. It's more along the lines that it's exhausting to you. So we really want to keep that next generational owner in their area of natural wiring, in their area of motivation, because then they have a much higher likelihood that they're going to be successful.
I love the way you put that. That's very, very perfect for, I think, for our listeners. The key there is that the next person that's coming up, whether it could be your son or daughter, it could be a key employee, they are not you. And you may have a well-rounded understanding of the total business, but you probably got that over 25 years. That person has strengths and they have weaknesses, and you can't expect them to take on those weaknesses. That'll drive them away a lot of times, right? So you don't want that.
It'll for sure do that. Yeah, and it for sure does that. So the expectation, let's say it's a son or daughter, expectation of the parent, the owner, son or daughter has to come in and do it like me. Usually what that does is drive the son or daughter away, because, you know, it's an expectation that's unrealistic for them. So, yeah, building the company so that you can keep people in their area of motivation is crucial and give them the greatest opportunity for success, and also the success of the business, because the owner who's been there for 10 or 20 years actually just naturally has hired the things that they normally don't like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if they like accounting, they'll do the accounting side and they'll be really good at it. If they don't like accounting, one of the first things they do is hire a bookkeeper or hire somebody to help them in that area. Right.
Great point.
So they've done that naturally. And so we need to let the next generation of owners that are coming in, you know, structure a business that's going to be a team that's going to be successful for them.
Great point. So let's talk about this. So you all have developed something called a transition roadmap. Tell our listeners, what is a transition roadmap? How does it create success for an owner as they move towards a transition?
Our transition roadmap, we've had that for years. What we usually do is we start with owners about 3 to 8 years before they're ready to transition. And the transition roadmap really focuses on dealing with some of the dilemmas on the people side that owners work with. So the dilemmas are, how do I get my value out? Could I really get it into the hands of the people that I want? What's my roadmap? When am I going to be ready? How is it going to work? How's the tax side going to work? How does the legal side work? What's my spouse going to think? What am I going to do in my next adventure? Because we want an owner moving towards something they want to do instead of leaving the business behind. It's much easier to move towards something that's exciting and leave the business in the hands of somebody who really will run it into the future versus leaving something behind and feeling bad about it. So the transition roadmap really creates alignment between the owner or owners, spouses and key people involved, the next generation of people who are coming in. There are a lot of moving parts there. And so it reduces the stress and the anxiety of how and when and where and to whom, and gives you the path so that you can communicate that with others and set expectations and timelines and stay on the path and know when you're off the path as a aligning team and shift. So you're smart in harvesting that value and smart in putting it in the hands of the right people and have time to make sure that those transitions go well.
Excellent. Excellent. So you asked a lot of questions back there that I'm sure people were saying, yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me. And then after you're like at the seventh or eighth question, they're like, this is why I don't start. It's exhausting to think about all of these different issues. It's so much easier to just go back and run the business. But then what happens is years go by, nothing's been done, and something happens, a health issue, somebody else has a health issue, you just get burned out and you haven't done the readiness. So you mentioned 3 to 8 years before the actual transition. Is that a natural timeline to start working on this?
Yeah, that's a really natural timeline to start working on because it gives you, usually the sooner you start, the more options you have. And those events that are life events, typically that's not the time to build your plan because there is stress and, you know, things like that around that. So the transition roadmap gives you, again, that path. It helps you to help you and your family harvest the value from the business, because if you have an event where something does not go well in your world or in your life, then, you know, that's usually not, again, the time to harvest the greatest value. So the roadmap really works well. And I have to say it's a great statistic for us. 100% of the businesses that have done this roadmap process with us are still in business, some of them up to 10 or 12 years later, some of them transitioning again into the next generation's hands. And the statistics for transition are not great. So we're proud that we have that 100% still in business with our transition roadmap process.
Now, I've gone to your website and I've seen that you have several tools available, including some self-serve, self-help tools, as well as assessments people can take. And for our listeners, the website is mybva. I'll say that again, mybva.com. And you can take a free assessment to find out where you are in the entrepreneurial flight, which I love that terminology. Could mean several things. And you have two books available on Amazon, Accelerate Your Entrepreneurial Flight by Melvin Wernemont and you, Elizabeth, and also Understanding the Growth of the Entrepreneur, again, by Melvin and you. Now, tell us a little, when our listeners go to your website, there's a lot of different moving parts on there. What's the first thing they should look at when they go to mybva.com to get familiar with how you guys can help them?
The first thing that I would do is take that entrepreneurial flight survey. What it is it's an integrated model that's been developed over the last 15 years, and it integrates the development of the entrepreneur with the development of the company. So when you take that entrepreneurial flight survey, you'll find out where you are as an entrepreneur on that flight, and there's seven different stages, seven different levels, and also where the business is. And theoretically, what you want to do is move the business more towards the upper levels, because the business then will have more stability, more value, and have a better chance of going on into the future. So the first thing I would do is go take that entrepreneurial flight survey and get your results, and then get in touch with us. And if you would like, we would be happy to go over the results with you.
And I love that idea. So first go get your bearings, figure out where you are on the entrepreneurial flight. And then it looks like they can decide at some point if they're, like you said, they're smaller businesses that have, they have substantial issues and problems. They also need to transition in one way or another, but they not may not be in your sweet spot for your planning, and they may not, they may just be self-serve people. They don't have the time or the inclination. So there's an area they can go to, or else they can engage you and get moving on it, or maybe they start with one and go to the other. I love what you've put together. I really do. And I would love for you to come back another time, Elizabeth, and tell us more about this. I mean, we can get so much deeper into this topic than we could today, just getting to know you and learning about what you're doing at VinaCell. So I want to encourage our listeners, again, go to mybva.com and take the free assessment there for the to learn about your entrepreneurial flight and where you are. And Elizabeth, it's been a real pleasure to have you on. I love the way you explain things, and I think it's very valuable for our listeners. So I hope you'll come back again soon.
Great. I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back after this, though, so please stay with us.
Now it's time for our Experts Corner on Branding with Kevin Twer, Senior Vice President of HKA Marketing Communications. Kevin, when should I begin being concerned about getting more visibility for my company?
Well, at every stage of a company's life, there are plenty of reasons to generate positive attention, particularly from media sources your audience read, watch, or even listen to. Even a young startup company is likely to be doing something new or different. Sometimes it's a unique product or service. Other times it's the management style of the CEO, or even an innovative delivery system, or a charitable endeavor. The differentiation that gets you noticed may not always be obvious, but you should always, always be looking for ways to gain attention from media, and be aware of all kinds of media that your audiences consume, from traditional newspapers and magazines to the latest social media channels. And when should I start? Well, you should start yesterday. Always be thinking of how to get out in front of your competition through media, and you'll see excellent results when it's time to identify a buyer. In fact, and this is absolutely important, with greater visibility, sometimes the buyers come to you.
For more information about HKA Marketing Communications, call them today at 714-426-0444. That's 714-426-0444. Or go online for their social media content calendar, a free guide available at hkamarcom.com. That's hkamarcom.com. Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. I want you to take just a few minutes and think about all of your assets that you've worked so hard to accumulate in your lifetime. Your business, your properties, your major assets. You're proud of those assets and you don't want anybody to take those away. However, there are many forces at work that are out to get your assets. Lawsuits, taxes, unforeseen financial calamities. You need a firm like the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group to help you look out for your assets and protect your future. They use practical and effective and elegant estate planning strategies that are individually designed to meet your specific goals and objectives. They believe in using their knowledge and expertise to create long-term effective strategies that safeguard your assets and your loved ones. Don't leave things to chance. Call the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group today and ask them how they can help you protect your assets. Their phone number is 877-774-9238. That's 877-774-9238. Tell them the Exit Coach sent you.
At BEI, Business Enterprise Institute, our mission is helping owners benefit from their life's work. We accomplish this by providing comprehensive, continual exit planning training, marketing support, certification, and plan design to business owner advisors. Thousands of exit plans have been created over the past 10 years by hundreds of advisors using our planning software to help owners grow, protect, and transfer business value. To learn more about exit planning and BEI, call us toll-free at 888-206-3009 or visit us online online at www.exitplanning.com. That's going to do it for the show today. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, my sponsors, and my producer, Julie Tabazon, for pulling the show together. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today. I want to remind you, go to our website at exitcoachradio.com, and you can dig into all kinds of interviews with advisors, including our past interviews here on AM 830. And follow us on Twitter at exitcoach. We'll see you again next week here on AM 830 KLAA. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.